Grab your big book, your pen, your highlighter, and notepad, and get ready to hear and apply some of the solution from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous through the experience, strength, and hope of Nikki M. To have a question addressed in a future episode of Noodle It Out with Nikki, please send an email to noodlewithnikki@gmail.com, and Nikki is spelled with two K's. To get a more interactive experience with Nikki as she noodles out life and recovery questions using the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, you can get a link to her weekly Noodle It Out with Nikki meeting held live on Zoom every Monday morning at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. The information to that meeting is in the show notes of this podcast. God morning, God afternoon, and God evening to all. My name is Justin B. I'm the son of an all-powerful and all-loving God and a qualifying member of multiple fellowships living in the miracle of recovery, and I am here with the intelligent agent, spearhead of God's ever-advancing creation, my co-host, Nikki M. Nikki, introduce yourself.
Hi, everybody. I'm Nikki M., and I'm a grateful member of many fellowships, and I'm just excited to be here. I have an open mind. I'm pretty radically honest lately. You know, non-truths slip in, like, no one loves me. Well, that's not true. Okay. Or I'm no good. That's not true. And I'm really willing to do this work. I love this lifestyle. So thanks for having me here, Justin. And thanks for having this platform, because I know nothing techie. I just show up, I hit a button and put these ear things in, and here we are.
I'm grateful you show up and do that. And, you know, I wish I could say I'm a real big techie, but I know enough to do this kind of stuff. So that's good. Nikki, before we jump into the question for today, I just want to give a little background on what Noodle It Out with Nikki is. And if anybody out there has a question for Nikki that you'd like us to address in one of these future meetings, send an email to noodlewithnikki@gmail.com. We'll get to those questions as they come in. We do a deep dive into the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous with everyday questions that come in about life, about recovery, about whatever. And we take these questions to Nikki. She helps us find page numbers and resources within the Big Book as to how to address those things, how to maneuver and go through life on life's terms and not on our own terms. And I'm grateful for this because it gives me the opportunity to really see things from a different perspective too. I love, Nikki, how you said, I've got an open mind. And that's something that has really changed in my own recovery. I went from thinking that everything is this way and there can be no other way to seeing so many different angles. And it's really helped me out a ton. And having these conversations with you does that for me also. All right. So everybody, check out what we've got going here at Rico 12. And if you love it, review it in the podcast format. Go check out everything else that we do, the Rico 12 speaker meeting, our Afro Euro speaker meetings, the Big Book roundtable that Nikki and I do with David G, and just everything else that we've got coming up. Check it out. And if it's helpful, share it with those in your network. Today, we're going to go with a question that, that I found in the Noodle chat, the WhatsApp group. If you want to join that, we can let us know and we'll get that sent to you too through that same email address, noodlewithnikki@gmail.com. All right. This question is how, and I love this because this is something that I still, even as I am really living generally in the happy, joyous, and freeing, in improving my conscious contact with God, as I understand God, it's still something that I need to really focus on. Question is, how do I pause when agitated rather than react in anger? I pray every day that God will remind me to pause when agitated, but I keep reacting. And then I feel remorseful, full of self-hatred afterward. Nikki, in the heat of life, I mean, things come at us all over the place. How, when I get hit by something, how do I pause rather than just go boom and explode at them?
Wow, that's a lot in this question, because I mean, I don't remember to pause. Most recently, I lost my literally mind, and I have a tongue that spits fire. I get real nasty. And so number one, how do I do this? Well, what do I do when I don't remember to pause? Maybe is another form of that is I know my book. So page 117, literally says, you will make mistakes. So that's, I see, we have to remember our book. What does, we are in a program that comes with a book. And even if you are not, you're like, I'm not an alcoholic, I'm not an addict. Well, if you have a friend that is, if you have any problems, spiritual principles will solve them. And it comes through this book. So page 117, when I lose my mind, when I forget to pause when agitated, I remember that I will make mistakes. But if I'm earnest, they won't drag me down, that I'm to capitalize on them. So I say, you know, like prime example to my boyfriend when I was in his last time we were together and I lost my mind, I just said, I can do better. I was wrong. I can do better. You know, that's, I don't mentally flog myself. No way. I'm no good. No, because the book says I'm going to make mistakes. And also on page 60, everybody, page 60 says, we are not saints. It says spiritual progress, not perfection. So I know I'm not perfect. See, I get armed with the facts. So how do I read? Because you said you pray every day. Now, that's great. You can pray and ask God not to, but why aren't you meditating on the thoughts that you're going to carry with you all through the day? So what does that look like? What does your morning routine look like? Because you have to remember who you are. We go to sleep every night. Are you upon awakening? I think that's page 87. Page 87, upon awakening, right? It says, no, it's sorry, it's page 86. On awakening, you are to think about the 24 hours ahead. And you know, when I lost my mind recently when I was in Luxembourg at my boyfriend's, I was not doing an upon awakening. I was just doing whatever the hell I want. I looked at him and I screamed, I hate it here. You're boring. I have a hot tub in Toronto. So I came home to Toronto and he said to me, are you in your hot tub every day, Nikki? And I wasn't. And so he goes, you need to get in that hot tub every day. So I started my morning most recently getting when it's dark outside, getting in there. You don't have to get in a hot tub. You can get in your bed. You can get on your knees. You can get your coffee and get in your beanbag, whatever you need to do. And are you thinking about the 24 hours a day? Because it doesn't say pray. It says think, which means meditate. So are you meditating on who you are, that you're an intelligent agent spearhead? See, when you are you meditating on where you find God right here now, nothing's missing. Are you meditating that God will do for you what you cannot do for yourself? Are you meditating on what you just learned at the synagogue, at the temple, at the church, at your yoga, what your yoga class taught you this weekend? See, I learned on Sunday that the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. So I have been meditating on that. So by the time someone comes and irritates me a couple hours later, I'm remembering that the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Right? I mean, or I'm remembering that I'm created in God's perfect image, I need nothing. Like these are the thoughts that, because it says our thought life. So what are you thinking about? Because you said, how do I remember, you know, to pause when agitated, right? How do you remember? Well, you have to remember who the hell you are. Does that make sense? See, like I have to wake up every day and smash the idea that I'm like other people. See, other people can lose their minds. You don't get to, Nikki. Because everybody wakes up and they think, well, today I'm not going to drink. Today I'm not going to eat that chocolate cake. Today I'm not going to text her. Why aren't you waking up and saying, today I'm an intelligent agent spearhead of God's ever advancing creation, that all my needs are provided for, that I'm to, oh, this is what I learned this previous Sunday, which was that I'm to be led beside quiet waters. Remember, like this is not an overnight matter. We talked about it on a previous podcast, or we talk about it a lot. If you listen to Noodle, we just repeat ourselves because that's what this is about, repetition. Being reprogrammed. Remember, we're supposed to sweep away our prejudice. So are you sweeping away your prejudice? You need to have self-control. No, You're born with a spirit of self-control. Are you reminding yourself that? You're not born with a spirit of fear. You're born with a spirit of love, faith, power. But we've been programmed. We got to be reprogrammed. See, we started on page 117. We can just move a little further up there on page 117 when it says, we urge you to try our program. You need to be reprogrammed. So when you have already lost your mind and you did not pause, see, you're not allowed to. You've smashed the idea that you're like other people. You don't get to get into self-loathing and self-flogging. Those days are done. Like those, we don't, it's not that you don't get to drink. It's not that you don't get to go on some and go watch porn. It's not that you don't get to go onto Amazon and rake up your credit card bill and start hoarding things in your closet. No, you don't get to think that you're a bad person. We don't get to do that anymore. See, remember, we're reborn because the book says you're going to make mistakes. I'm not a saint. Oh, well. Does that make sense? So, and then if you can remember to pause when something eats your soul, well, page 119 says you pause and you count your blessings. Are you obsessing about your blessings when you do pause? Because it says relax and take it easy. See, this is all about a thought life. People are forgetting what this is about. We come into 12 step. I need to stop. I need to stop. I need to stop. I need to stop. Yeah, you need to stop blotting out the consciousness of your existence so you can do things, but you need to start thinking. What does the book say?
Nikki, you know, a couple of things that came to mind while you were sharing those things, and I've got notes all over the place here, but one of the concepts that I've been looking at and trying to implement in my own life is something that it's, you know, stimulus. Life is a trigger. We meet these conditions every day. I'm going to be stimulated by something that is there to disturb my peace, going to get me agitated. It's going to make me angry every day, no matter what, no matter where I am, no matter how I start my day off, whether I'm in complete zen, something is going to happen. I meet these conditions every day. There's going to be a stimulus. Now, my personal experience, strength, and hope is there is a brief, early in recovery, there's like a brief millisecond of choice. I can go, am I going to explode or am I going to breathe for just a second? But that comes and goes so fast. But I need to be aware so that I can expand that brief millisecond to be a half second, a full second, 5 seconds, 10 seconds. So I can, you got the stimulus, breathe, pause, ask God what the right action is, and then respond rather than react. If there's a stimulus, reaction is just an explosion. If it's a stimulus, pause. What do? Respond. And I can bring peace not only to me, but to those around me. Any thoughts on that little exercise that I'm trying to develop in my own life? What are your thoughts, Nikki?
Yeah, well, that's why it says, as we go through the day, right? Remember, it says we pause as we, so things are going to constantly come to you. The book says it, page 30, we are in the grip of a progressive illness. And a lot of us, that's sober. That's why I love Justin B. If you guys, you know, I get to look at him, he's so great because this guy's never had a drink, okay? And he said that he's never had a drink, but he suffers the disease of alcoholism and the grip of a progressive, because his thinking. So what do I think about that? Well, on page 158, it says, halfway down, it says, that afternoon, he put on his clothes and walked from the hospital a free man. Are you putting on your clothes every day? What does that mean? And I don't mean these threads I'm wearing, my noodle bathrobe and what you're on, Justin. I'm talking the shoes of peace, you know, the belt of truth. We hear that in other books, but you could even go on. Are you putting on, you know, your spiritual principles, your clothes of spiritual principles? And you can do that any time throughout the day. This program is probably the most, you could go and pay for your mindfulness courses. Oh, someone said, Nikki, have you read The Power of Now, Eckhart Tolle? And I said, well, I've read the title. I didn't read the book, but the power of now. And our book tells us on page 59, may you find God now. So this takes a lot of practice of being in the now. Because what's missing right now, Justin, if you and I were to say, like, and I'll answer for us right now, it's like, nothing is missing right here, right now, unless someone is dead. Think about it. Because what can we do about it? And I love what you said, like, we come in here, we're powerless, but we do get the power of choice, the power to choose again between right and wrong, between reaction or responding. Like this goes real deep. But this takes years of practice. Does that make sense? Like, again, that's why it says we practice these principles in all our affairs. You have to practice.
Yeah. Nikki, so where you took us there on page 158, he put on his clothes and walked from the hospital a free man. I'm envisioning this. I mean, when you said that, my brain just exploded. In that pause, when the stimulus happens, I can literally in my mind go, okay, I just had crap splattered on this shirt that I'm wearing, you know? From no fault of my, well, maybe fault of my own, but no intention of my own. I need to pause, take off this shirt, put on a new shirt, the armor of my higher power, whatever it may be, and then respond rather than scream at the person. You just got my shirt messy because of whatever you said or the way you looked at me or whatever. And I can emerge a new person, and I can do it looking the world in the eye. I don't need to grovel before anyone. I can stand with my head up, my shoulders back, and look the world in the eye, not with arrogance, but with confidence that I can change my clothes, put on new clothes, and be at peace. And I love that imagery of stimulus, pause, put on different clothes, respond. And that just helps me a ton. Any further thoughts on that, Nikki?
Well, this is all about our thinking. I mean, this is really, I mean, I always go to the same pages and all this, but it tells you what to do. Page 13 says, you are to test your thinking by the new God consciousness within. And if you think you can do that day one, year one, I'm in year 12, Justin, soon. And when I say, I mean, I was spewing fire from my lips less than a month ago in Luxembourg, saying awful things. I didn't test my thinking. But here it tells you what to do. It says, sit quietly. You know, this is because it says common sense would thus be, it's common sense for me to lose my mind. It's uncommon for me to sit quietly and ask only for direction and strength. And the person who asked this question is like, I pray every day. It says, I'm never to pray for myself, except of course the request for your usefulness. Okay. So how often are you praying for yourself? Because if you're praying every day for this, for yourself, that's, I don't know if that's right either. This is very, very simple, but not easy, I guess I could say. I want to say hard, radical. It's like, I don't know. Like, this is not easy, Justin. And that's why the book tells us you're not going to do this perfectly. You know, it's the St. Francis of Assisi. I went to a Saturday night meeting and it was a meditation, and it was like, Francis of Assisi, learn the history of this guy. He went out there, he partied, he did all, his dad was a merchant, lots of money. And then he stripped off all his clothes. There's a scene in this movie. They show him butt naked, handing his clothes to the town, turns around, walks away, and then he's dying of the self. Dying of the self. Then it's like, help me to understand rather than be understood. How about sitting on that in your morning meditation? How about praying that every day? Help me, just that line alone, help me to understand rather than to be understood. Every day, all day, doing that until that becomes page 87, a working part of your mind. See, it says what, and that's what it says right here. Like, I love the promise on page 87, the top paragraph. It says, what used to be the hunch or the occasional inspiration gradually. And they don't say numbers in years. I've been here 12 years. I've been here 20 years. I've been here 12 months. Gradually. What's the number on gradually? Becomes a working part of your mind. That's a promise. And it says, see, person who's like, how do I remember to pause? It says we're all in experience and we just made conscious contact with this power. It's not probable that we're going to be inspired at all times. And you, me, Justin, our friends, we're going to pay for this presumption in all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. I'll start acting out. I'll start flogging myself. I'm no good. I should leave the rooms. I should break up with my boyfriend. See, God gave me that guy. So when I lose my mind, he just smiles and knows that I can do better rather than throwing me out with the baby with the bathwater. See, God will do for me. So then I get another chance, which happens. I told you I'm going in 3 weeks to go back to Luxembourg just for a 2-week visit so I can not go remorseful mumbling. I'm sorry, I was awful. So I can demonstrate what God would have me be. He's excited. He keeps throwing at my face. Well, are you going to be better this time? What are you going to do? Are you flying back to show me how good you can be?
Oh, man, that's awesome. You know, Nikki, I this has been really, really meaningful. I think I want to take us out with a third step prayer with a little bit of commentary that I have here. So I'm going to go through this on an insight that I had on this third step prayer, because you talked about, hey, it's not about me. It's not about me. Well, the third step prayer, I'm going to go through this. Here we go. God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties. So everything in there is about me so far. Well, about me and God and my relationship with God. But here's where it shifts. This is where everything shifts in the program in my mind. That victory over them, my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those. That's where the shift happens. To those I would help of God's power, God's love, God's way of life. May I do God's will always. It's not about me. It's about what God can do with me for others. It's what God does for others and for me through me. And it's a beautiful, beautiful shift. When I can pause when agitated and put my focus on someone else rather than the dirty shirt that just happened to me and go, okay, let me reach out, connect with somebody else and be of service to God, to somebody else. Everything changes. Everything changes. Everybody keep coming back, come all the way in, sit all the way down. This is a good place to be, to learn, be patient. It's not an overnight matter. Keep coming back. It works when I work it. So work it. You are worth it.